Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Today's text comes out of Mark 9. The beginning of Mark 9, big things happened. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. They went up the mountain. It was very transforming when they got up there. Peter started talking out of his head. Didn't know exactly what it was to say, but we've all been in circumstances like that. So getting ready to come back down, and Jesus says, shh, but don't tell anybody about this, because remember, Mark is the secret gospel. When they get down, they go back to Jesus' other disciples there, and somebody comes up to him and says, Jesus, can you help us out here? Because we ask your disciples to, and they're unable to. And Jesus kind of looked at his disciples and said, I thought I had taught you enough that you'd be able to do this, but apparently that hadn't taken place. So we kind of pick up right here with our scripture today, Mark 9, verses 20 through 24. And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and it fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us. Have compassion on us. Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. For the word of God, for the people of God.
Thank you, Chris, choir, for that wonderful piece of music this morning. It's not only Pentecost, it's Memorial Day weekend. I am grateful for the American military. I'm grateful for the nation in which we live. I'm grateful for our country. I get chills when I hear the national anthem, and I stand at attention when it's played. A ruptured disc in my back kept me from being a commissioned officer in the United States Army, so I carry that with me in my heart. Along the way, I was called to a different force, a more powerful force, the gospel ministry. I've loved being a pastoral leader for over 50 years. I love the church. I still get chills when I hear how great thou art, and I stand prayerfully. I'm grateful for those who have sacrificed for our nation, and I'm grateful for those who have sacrificed for the goodness of our church. And it seems that church is making a difference. In the latest statistics from the Pew Research, 37% of those surveyed says that the church is gaining influence in the nation. That's good news. 37%, up from 25% about 10 years ago. 60% of those in the survey identify as Christian, which is up quite a bit, and 30% of adults now attend a religious gathering at least once a month. So you're off the rest of the month if you're here today. Yeah. And 24% of attenders give something in the offering plate. Nationwide, church people give 2.5% to 3% of their annual income to the work of the church. So the church is doing a great job. More people are seeking spiritual moments than ever before in the history of our world. almost 347 million people in the United States. Somewhere around 300,000 churches in the United States. 4,000 to 5,000 churches close each year, but 4,000 to 5,000 new churches open each year. So in balance, we're about breaking even. And with all of that, with all of the people who are seeking, with all of the churches that are blossoming, with the church having more impact in our nation since the 1950s, on this Memorial Day, Pentecost Sunday, I'm concerned for our nation. 57% of adults report having participated in some form of gambling in 2025. Over half of us have done some kind of placing a wager in the last year. 40% of us played the lottery or scratch-offs. 109 billion dollars spent on the lottery. That astounded me. I read that. I had to go and research it in two or three different places. 109 billion dollars spent on the lottery. 165 billion dollars spent on online sports betting sites across our nation. North Carolina should be proud. We're number seven, spending over $700 million in online gambling sites. More than 50 million illegal drug users in the United States. 29 million Americans have alcohol disorder. 39% of teenagers, 12 years old to 18, have used alcohol or illegal drugs. I'm concerned for our nation. Even more alarming, 32% of us identify as Christian nationalists. Christian nationalism asserts that the United States was founded strictly by and for Christians, and therefore we should prioritize all of the rules of our land, social and political, according to the Christian ethic. If anyone could define that, white evangelical Protestants are the most supportive of Christian nationalism. Somewhere between 64 and 65% of us believe that we are a Christian nation, we should be a Christian nation, we should stay a Christian nation. I'm concerned for our country. This is not that old-timey Baptist sermon where the preacher preaches against everything y'all like doing. This is a sermon of concern on the day when we are experiencing the bursting of God's Spirit upon our nation in a moment when more people are seeking spiritual things, all this decay is happening underneath, and I'm concerned about that. The economy, and particularly the cost of living, healthcare affordability, political polarization, addictions, immigration, guns and violent crime, the quality of public school, the decline of infrastructure, racism, ageism, sexism. The isms just continue to roll out. I'm concerned about our nation. And a large number of Americans think the church is making a difference and gaining influence. Show me where. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. On this Memorial Day weekend, I am blessed to live in this land. And I want to share the blessing of that, and I want to share my faith with everyone. On this Pentecost Sunday, I'm blessed to live as a person filled with God's Spirit, and I want to share my faith with everyone. Not to oppress them, but to build relationships with them. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus heard those words. The Father's Son is being racked by demons. We don't know much about demons in our world, except for those I just named. The Father is standing by, watching his Son from birth, who has been racked by these demons, ravaging his body. And please, Jesus, can't you do something, please? And Jesus does what Jesus does. And the Son is healed. And the Father says, God, I believe. Lord, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Now help my unbelief. It is this mixture of faith and doubt that we all have to wrestle with. It is this mixture of wanting God to burst upon the scene and being scared to death that God might. The disciples' inability to heal highlights the limitations of who we are as humans. Chris said, Jesus said, I thought I'd taught y'all better. Well, there's only so much we can do without the power of God. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus' compassion and his directness. When he shows love to this child who is being torn in pieces, and then his rebuke to the broader spiritual community. You see, public exposure doesn't guarantee faith expression. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So what does this have to do with Pentecost? Happy birthday to the church. The Spirit fulfills all that is God's plan. Human faith requires God's empowering help. In order for us to be the fullest expression of who we are to be, we must accept the presence of the Spirit within our hearts. So the Pentecostals may have it right. I thought about bringing some snakes this morning. Lord, I believe. But I ain't handling snakes. That's what it's got to be. Pentecost is the decisive gift of God for help. to enable the church to live and to act out to the community the reality of Jesus. In the good old days, we knew how to do church. You remember the good old days before central heat and air? In the good old days, we knew how to do church. On Sunday morning, we had Sunday school and then we had church. Somehow that got messed up around here, but that's all right. 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship. Then we came back at 6 o'clock for training union, and then we had Sunday night worship. Lord, I miss the good old days. No, I don't. But in the good old days, on Tuesday night was when the true Christians of the church showed up. Jerry, what did we do on Tuesday night? We went visiting. I was in the hills of Kentucky on Tuesday night. Charles Crone and I went up back behind the First Baptist Church of Shepherdsville, Kentucky. We had just had the largest Bible school in the history of the church. And we were out visiting the families of those children who had come. And Charles Crone and I were up in the hills knocking on doors to people who had been to our Bible school. And this man came to the door, and I said, "Good evening. I'm Bo Prosser from the First Baptist Church of Shepherdsville, and this is my friend Charles. And your children were at our vacation Bible school, and we just wanted to stop by and say thank you. And is there anything we could do for you?" He said, "Son, that ain't never a good way to start a sentence." Quickly. "Son, I'm going to give you about 3 seconds to get off my porch. My kids ain't ever been in your church. And so when I turn back around, you better be gone." And he moved towards the mantle to where his 12-gauge shotgun was hanging. Now, in the spirit, I could have said, "Well, sir, I have the registration here where your kids did come to our church. I know they were in Bible school. I see them right over there on the sofa." But I didn't think that was the best time for me to argue. So Charles Crone and I were caught up in the spirit and carried away. But it's Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate the birth of the church, when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, when we speak from our native tongue. April asked me earlier, "How many languages are you speaking today?" I said, "Only one, Southern." Pentecost is when God gifts to the church the enabling strength to do church. Thanks be to God. Are you and I able to heal others? Doubtful. Can we cast out demons? Probably not. Raise the dead? No. Can we speak so that everyone understands us? Nope. But because of the Spirit, we can bring an honest faith to the conversation, even when it's mixed with doubt. Parker Palmer, that great Quaker theologian, says it like this: "Help, my unbelief is a courageous admission of the inner contradiction that is within all of us. Hope, giving hope is a great gift to the church. And Pentecost produces transformed communities that move within their uncertainty into faithful expression of their hope. And so as a church, you have said we are going to be bold in how we build relationships across the sexuality spectrum. And some of you are saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. As a church, you have been bold in reaching out to the refugee community. You even have signs on the doors that say we are a sanctuary church. And some of us say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You have been bold in your generosity. But some of us are still saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You are bold in loving one another. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Barbara Brown Taylor says it like this: the Spirit shows up in ordinary and surprising ways, calling people into new speech, into new community, into fun. Pentecost is the gift of fun to the church. Let me say that again. Pentecost is the gift of fun to the church. Well, all right. See, if y'all were meeting at 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock, the Spirit would have been here by now. But he's on his way. Lord, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. So what else can you be about as a believer? Who else need you to be Jesus? Let's pray together. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts with the fun of our faith. Speak to our hearts with the imagination of the mind of God. Speak to our hearts that in the mixture of faith and doubt, we can be instruments of hope. Bless us, O God. Help us to realize the gift of your Holy Spirit and to live more fully through Christ our Lord. Amen.